have your Bibles. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 1 this morning. I want to introduce you to someone that I believe that the church has forgotten and the world has forgotten. I want to introduce you to my Heavenly Father. I don't think you know Him. I don't think you know anything about Him. I think we have come so far from who He is, and with religion and the deception of Satan using religion to fool people and creating a false God, I think it's time that we look in Scripture and we find out who God is. So we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. This is where it all begins, folks. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." You see, we do not know where God began. God didn't tell us where He began. We don't know where the beginning of God is at, but yet man will try to determine that and figure out things that they have no business even asking that question of who God is. He created all things. Your kids want to know where they came from. Man was created in the image of a holy God. And we're the problem. God's not the problem. God has never been the problem. But He is God over all. He owns all. You think you own anything at all, God tomorrow can take that from you. He can take your health from you in a heartbeat. He can take your wealth from you. He can take your fame from you. He can take your fortune from you. And He can take your life from you. He is God, and He created all things. And Scripture is very plain on this. In the beginning, God created all things. Okay? We make things from God's creation. We don't create anything. Do you understand that? As a humanity, we don't create anything. God created it all. We make things from the creation that God created. Then God said, "Let there be light." And guess what? There was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. And folks, there was one day. God started all of this. God put the moon in the sky, and the stars, and the sun. He created the animals. He created man. He put man in a garden. He said, "Your job is to till that garden. Take care of it." God did that. He created all things. He's the creator. And you don't get, as the created being, to ask God why He did anything. You don't get to ask God that. That is not a privilege that God has given you. And the arrogance of man to ask God why. You do not have the audacity to ask God why in anything. We have got this wrong perspective of who God is. We're going to look at Jeremiah 27, 2 through 6. That's Jeremiah 27, 2 through 6. It says, "Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourself bonds and yokes and put them around your neck." This is the prophet that Jeremiah sent out, and he said, "You're going to speak to the people, but they're not going to listen to you. And send word to the king of Edom and the king of Moab and to the king of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre and the sons of Sidon and the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Command them to go to their masters saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters." See, they had reached a point they forgot who God was. So God sent a prophet to remind them that I have made the earth, the men and the beasts which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and my outstretched arm, and I will give it to whom is pleasing in my sight. Not only is He creator, but He has a sovereignty to do with His creation whatever He wants to do. He says, "Now I have given all these lands in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and I have given him also the wild animals of the field to serve him." God has that right to do whatever He wants to do. He is the creator, and he's reminding man once again that, hey, I did this. I did this. And I think the church has forgotten this. I think the world has forgotten this, that God is the author of it all. And we do not stand in awe of him. We do not stand in respect of him. And we come in here lackadaisically, and we think our worship is pleasing to him because we think somehow we've done something to accomplish something that only God can accomplish for us by some work that we think we're doing for God. He had to remind the world that I'm going to use a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm going to give him all of it. And we know this is where the Israelites were cast out into bondage to this king because of their disobedience. And he used, again, a servant made of clay for the wrath to be shown to his people. Oh, wait a minute. This is not the loving God that I've created in my life. This is not the loving God that I've been taught about in Sunday school or vacation Bible school since my mom and dad drugged me somewhere where I didn't want to go. But we love to go to vacation Bible school because we get those cookies and we get to play games. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8, 2 through 6. So not only is God the creator, he's incomprehensible. You hear what I said? You can't understand God. You can't know God. Huh? It's impossible for us in our human brain to know actually who he is in his entirety. The part we know about him, he's allowed us to know for a purpose, and that's to bring redemption back to mankind. But listen to what he says. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. Okay? See, we think we're so smart. And we think we got all this figured out. And we write a book to tell people who God is. And we got all these people writing books about how God's going to do this and what you can expect from God. And we have no right to write a book. God wrote what he wanted us to know. Throw those books away. Get out the Holy Scriptures that are alive and let them dissect you and bring you to the end of yourself. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. Now you have to read the rest of the Scriptures about loving God. God says, if you love me, then you'll do what I command you, not what I suggest to you, not a suggestion on how to live, but you'll do what I command you. So now you got to read the rest of the Scriptures to understand what that says. And Jesus says, I'll be your friend if you do what I say. So this loving God that just accepts anything and any way of life and endures it is a false lie. Now he finds you that way, but you can't stay that way. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. Not only is he the creator, not only is he incomprehensible, but he is one. He is the only one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, but there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. And if you think for one minute that you, come on folks, we've got this all backwards. Read that again. We exist for him. He does not exist for us. We exist for him. And religion has turned us around to say that God is there and he exists for us. A lie. I just revealed this lie of religion to you. There's one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, that we exist through him. So we exist for God, and we exist through Christ. Okay? For God. So we make sure we got to get this right, folks. We've created a God that we think is just waiting for us there. And man, oh gosh, I can't wait for this Lloyd Jolly to come to me. No, he put demands on that and said, this is the way it is. And if you don't like it, too stinking bad. If you don't like how I created things, too bad. If you don't like that I'm holy, too bad. You don't like that I can make storms come and kill millions of people at a time or at a thought? Too bad. Just too bad. I loved you enough so you wouldn't suffer my wrath, and look what you did to my son. I send him as a spokesman to warn you people of what's going to happen. And yet you've created me and turned me into something I am not. You gather and you come in just any way that you want to come into my presence. I'm God. And if you don't like it, too bad. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 6. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, his desire and his love for us is that we come to this knowledge of who he really is, instead of creating something that doesn't exist, that's an idol. And we talked about that last week. Huh? Most religions are idol worships, and they create a God that allows them to live any way they want. Apart from the authority of God and Jesus Christ over their life. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, for there is one God. There's only one. There's only one mediator between God and men, and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all the testimony given at the proper time. There's no other way. Jesus Christ went on to say, I am the way, not a way. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's how God set it up. Jesus didn't do this. Jesus only has the authority that God gave him. I think we forgot who God is. Jesus did exactly what God told him to do. The Holy Spirit does exactly what God tells him to do. And you're to do exactly what God tells you to do. And if you don't like it, too bad. Just too bad if you don't like it. Let's get to Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 5. In the year of King Uzziah, death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe fulfilling the temple. Seraphim stood all around him, each having six wings, which two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Notice that the seraphim is a male. Just pointing that out, that's extra. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, this is what Isaiah said. See, the holiness of God should bring us to the end of ourselves. Because we can't comprehend what holiness is. But when Isaiah saw this, listen to what he said. He said, "Woe is me. I am ruined. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When you come face to face with Jesus Christ, when you come face to face with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and thus come face to face with Holy God, if you don't come up with this conclusion, you've missed the God of this world, the God of this universe, the God that created all things. Again, you missed it. There's no other conclusion you can come up to when you stand in front of His holiness. That's the only conclusion a man can come up with, is that he's undone. That he's an enemy of God. And he deserves and will suffer the wrath of God if God doesn't do something for him. So quit doing things for God until He's done something for you. 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. See, this is not a spectator situation or a spectator sport, folks. He's telling you to get ready, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober, clear-minded, clear thought, clear heart, in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If He is not revealed to you through the Holy Spirit, you do not have Jesus Christ. You do not have God. You do not have the Holy Spirit. You have a make-believe. You have created an idol in your life, and you're going to die and go to hell. If He's not revealed Himself to you through Scripture, that is the only place He can be revealed to, is through the Holy Word of God. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, the revelation comes from God. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. See, we're ignorant. We're born ignorant. God says you're ignorant. You're ignorant to my ways. You're ignorant to who I am. And I will write this so you will no longer be ignorant. But I'm holding you when I write this. You are now guilty and you're held accountable. There's no one that takes a breath that is not held accountable to Holy God. But like the Holy One who called you, if He doesn't call you, and you've just said a prayer, and you've got some religion, and all you are is Baptist, or all you are is Methodist, or all you are is Catholic, or all you are is Jehovah Witness, or all you are is Muslim, or all you are is Hindu, or all you are is Buddha, you're going to die and go to hell. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also in all your what? Huh? In your what? Behavior. So you can't create this God that allows you to live in your sin comfortably. You can't have a God that doesn't cause you to suffer in your sin. I don't think we know God, to be honest with you. I think we've all created a God in our life, in our world. And you know what the sad part is about all this? Is that it's too late when we know who He truly is. If we stand before Him, He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because you didn't read it. You didn't read it from Genesis to Revelations. And I'm telling you, folks, if you don't sit down and read it from Genesis to Revelation, you're not going to know who this God is. You can't read daily devotions and know who God is. Reading daily devotions will create a, you'll create a God for yourself that doesn't exist. You'll get the wrong perspective of who God is. Isaiah 55, 6-11. He warns us, seek the Lord while he may be found. So first of all, we have to look at the rest of the scripture. It says, no one seeks after God, no, not one. So why would somebody begin to seek God? Because he called them. That's why that other passage of scripture is so important, is because it has to be a call and a revelation in your life. And then when that call, that revelation comes in your life, then it's your responsibility to seek him. And you have to seek him while he may be found. Because the false God says, I can be found at any time. The true God says, I'll be found when I let you find me. You will only find me if I allow you to find me. Call upon him while he's near. While he is near, because he will not always be near. If he calls you and you reject, he calls you and you begin to not hear, and he calls you, then your heart will become hardened and there's no chance for your salvation. And that's proven in Scripture. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man in his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him and to our God. Do you understand where the compassion comes in at? It's when you return back and get rid of your wicked ways. It's called repentance. You want compassion from God? Then you have to do the things that God says to get his compassion. You can't listen to man and say, oh, God is all compassion. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, I didn't see much compassion. When Joshua was going through and they were killing one tribe and one nation after one nation, killing them with the sword, leaving no one alive, I don't see much compassion there, do you? But I can't question God. I have no right. And I have no right to judge God that he's uncompassionable. And he will have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. But then, here's something real important. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't know God. You can't go to college and become a theologian and know God. You can't go on mission trips and know God. You can't do all these good works and know God. There's no way for you to know his ways, and there's no way for you to know his thoughts. For as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, and you do not return, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing the seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, that's what he does, and then he provides it all. He provides the wisdom, he provides the knowledge, he provides the faith, he provides the method, he provides the sacrifice, who is Jesus Christ. He provides it all. You bring nothing to this table. You are hopeless and you are helpless in your life and deserving of the wrath of God. And God said, no, I'll love them enough to send my son so they will not suffer my wrath. But there are conditions to it, and the condition is that you repent from your sins, and the condition is that you know the true God and the nature of who he is and all that he is. And you can't know that unless you sit in your quiet room with the Holy Spirit teaching you and guiding you through the truth of who God is. So will my word which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire. See, it's what he desires that is accomplished, not what you desire. It's not the life that you want to live, but the life that he wants to live through you is what will be accomplished in his word. This is the true God. This is the only God that exists, is the one I'm telling you about this morning. And without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it, for you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Let's look at Romans. Chapter 11. Beginning in verse 32. For God has shut up all disobedience so he may show mercy to all. See, that's what he does. He is a merciful God. But he's a holy God. He's a precise God. He's a God that doesn't lie. He's a God that doesn't make mistakes. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable are his ways. You know what that word means? Do you know what that word means? It means he can't be found. It means he can't be understood. It means that there's no way that you can know God unless God allows you to know what he wants you to know about him. Wow, how arrogant we are. Oh, how arrogant the church has become. Oh, how arrogant the denominations are, thinking that they're the only ones that are right, that everybody else is wrong, when they themselves don't even look in Scripture to see if they're right or wrong. Unfathomable are his ways. You don't know them. You can't know them. You can't write a book and say, this is what God is going to do. God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, never how he wants to do it, with no questions asked, and none have to ask our permission about it. And if you don't like it, guess what? Too bad. Just too bad. Just too darn bad. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Tell me who? Joel Osteen? Joel Osteen is God's counselor? He sure is going around telling people what God's going to do in their life. And yet his church is full. And it's just his church. It's not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? Are we kidding? That we give God anything? And people say, oh, I gave my life to Christ, or I found him. Well, we just read in Scripture, you can't find him unless he allows himself to be found. You can't find him. And you can't give your life to Christ. You can't give him something that he hadn't given you. And if he don't give you life, and he hasn't done something for you, you can't do nothing. He don't need you to do anything. We just talked about him being creator, didn't we? And yet we think we're going to do something for God, that we're doing the work of God. No, God does his own work. He just happens to use us. Which is amazing in my mind. Jesus Christ said, I don't even trust man because I know what's in him. Jesus Christ said that. Jesus wrote that. It was written that's what Jesus said, that I don't even trust man because I know what's in him. And yet God uses us only when he wants to and how he wants to and when he wants to. And it doesn't matter what we do for God, it's all in vain if he hasn't orchestrated it and said it. We're not pleasing him by any action or anything that we do. We can't please him in the flesh. Impossible. For from him and through him and to him all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Got that? So it's from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory. Amen. So what's this about? I don't think the God that we think is out there is out there, folks. I think we've got a different God that we need to look at. I think we better get on our knees, folks. I believe the church has got to get on our knees and ask God to reveal himself to him, because we have created a God that doesn't exist, and that's idol worship. And he's a jealous God, and he wants no other God but himself, and he will punish. Did you not see what he did to the Israelites when they forsook the only and true God? Have you not read that? And yet we have forsaken God in our world today because we've created a God, and we're telling people about a God that doesn't exist. Because we're not reading this. Look at Numbers real quick. 23:15-20. It says, and he said to Balak, this is where Balak wanted him to curse. He wanted him, the prophet, to curse Israel. Okay? And he said to Balak, stand here beside your burnt offering while I myself meet the Lord over there. Then the Lord met Balaam, so Balaam did what he was supposed to do, and put a word in his mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. And he came to him, behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering and the leaders of Moab and him. And Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? Then he took up the discourse and said, arise, O Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man. Got that? God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. Has he said he will not do it? Or he has spoken, and he will not make it good? Behold, I have received command to bless. And when he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. So it doesn't matter what God you create. It's only what's written in here that God's going to do. God has allowed us to understand through his revelation, through the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, who we are and what we are in his sight. And there's no one righteous, no, not one. And whatever God says God will do, the only thing God can't do is lie. He wrote this so that we would know. He wrote this so that we wouldn't perish. He wrote this because he loves us. But there's a lot of stipulations that this God requires of us that the false God of today's religion doesn't require of people. And they will stand before him and he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. And finishing up, John 3. This is John the Baptist. This is his account after meeting Jesus. He must increase, I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is from the earth, and he who speaks of the earth, he who comes from heaven is above all. Talking about the God that loved us to send his only son to warn us. I don't think people understand that this is a warning, it's not an invitation. It's demands of God on humanity. It's demands on us. What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He has received his testimony and set his seal to this, that God is true. Is the God that you're serving, the God that you think is out there, is that the true God? Have you checked it out? Have you checked the scriptures to see if the God that you claim to be your God is the true God? Or have you created a God or accepted the God of religion You better check it out. You better prove me wrong. You better not just say I'm a nut up here. You better check it out. You better get with God alone in your secret place, and you better sit down with him, church. Listen to me, you churches. Listen to me, you denominations. You better check out and make sure you got the right God. Because when you stand before him and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, it is too late, and you'll be cast out where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. You better check it out. And God is the only one that can give you assurance that you're serving the only and true God that's out there. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son, has given him all things into his hand, and he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey. Listen, it wasn't just about believing, folks. Did you see this right here? I'm going to, again, annihilate religion today for you in the fact that it says it's not about believing, but it's about obeying. And it says if you do not obey the Son, and you will not see life, but the wrath of God will abide in you and on you. I don't know how much more plain that God's word can be. God wants to introduce himself to you today. He wants you to know who he is so that you don't have to perish. He's willing. But you better be doing your part. And you better fall on your face before a holy God and ask him to teach you through his word. Oh, you'll never see the glory of God, but his wrath.